and Light District. Clay Travis joins us, presented by thehomeloanexpert.com. Clay, good morning. I hear you're out in L.A.?
I am. I started off the week in New Orleans for the national title game and flew out here late last night, and we'll be out here till Saturday.
How do you describe the Titans' run?
Thrilling, implausible, improbable, and yet also still, I mean, nerve-wracking.
Because yeah, yeah.
When you get to this point, I feel like losing to the Super Bowl, we know, 20 years ago, stinks. But I feel like losing in the AFC or NFC championship game is even worse because you're not quite to the Super Bowl, right? You don't get the additional 2 weeks of fun. And let's be honest, I mean, I saw the odds that have already come out for 2020. I started off my show this morning talking about how the stakes for the Titans could be pretty substantial because people aren't buying into them as a perpetual contender. You know, the 49ers, if they lose, the Chiefs, if they lose, maybe even to a certain extent the Packers, if they lose, people expect for them to be good again next year and to be in this position. I'm not sure how long it could be till the Titans are in the AFC Championship game again. It's been 17 years. It's hard to get here. And, man, I would love, even if you lose in the Super Bowl, and look, I don't want to lose the Super Bowl. That's tough, too. But if, you know, I would love to get to the Super Bowl again.
Well, and also, Clay, that this run flies in the face of conventional NFL wisdom with the quarterback and the receivers and the passing game leading the way. You've had two road wins where Ryan Tannehill has thrown for less than 100 yards, and the Titans are winning with this man brand of football that's reminiscent of the last time the Titans were good with Eddie George. Is that fun for you, having followed this team since they've been here?
I don't care how the Titans win. I mean, if the Titans win because they score 75 points and the other team scores 72, I'd love it. If the Titans win because they score two and the other team can't score, I'd love it too. And it's a chokeout style. But I love watching Derrick Henry. I enjoyed watching him at Alabama, even though I'm a Tennessee fan. I love the physicality that he brings to bear. I like the way he plays. And I think sometimes you just get hot at the right time. And I think the Titans, what made that win over the Ravens so sweet was for somebody, and I was there, who sat in the crowd in 2000 and watched the Titans lose a game that when they were the better team, I think, and the Ravens went on and won the Super Bowl. And then to have watched back in 2008 the 13-10 game, both of those games, if the Titans win against the Ravens, they host the biggest sporting event that's ever occurred in the history of the city of Nashville, an AFC championship game in our town. And both those times, the Ravens took it away from us. And I feel like we got one of those games back. And I feel like a lot of old Titan players and alums and certainly fans who have been around for the last 20 years and remember those losses, this felt like payback.
We had Eddie George on the show earlier this week, and he said it felt like he won without having to put forth the effort.
Yeah.
He was watching the game in Vegas, and that's how emotional it was. He felt like he had just won the football game, but he didn't have to play in it to win it.
Yeah, look, I think that there is there's a lot of that from the Titans alums that would just like to see it. And look, I'll be honest. I mean, I'm a season ticket holder. I've been to, you know, pretty much a huge percentage of the home football games over the years. I'd like to just win a Super Bowl at some point in my life, you know, and then sort of like with the University of Tennessee winning in 98, if you get one, then I think you want to win another one, certainly. But if you get the one, then it feels like everything hasn't been in vain, right? Like you haven't invested all these hours, all this time, all this energy. If you get one, like I don't want to be the guy who dies like the Boston Red Sox fan who rooted for the Red Sox his entire life and never saw a single championship. I don't want to be the 90-year-old Detroit Lion fan who has, you know, never seen his team win a Super Bowl. So it's hard to get here, and I'd like to go ahead and kick the door down and advance and play for a championship, not to mention, selfishly for me, I mean, Fox has got this Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So we're doing our show, Lock It In, from the beach, from Loomis Park in South Beach for an entire week. I'll be doing the radio show from, I know you guys will be there too, but of all the years to have it happen, for me, selfishly, I mean, it would be incredible with Fox having the Super Bowl this year.
You know, Clay, earlier this week, I was more focused on the actual matchup. And as the week has progressed, I've been thinking more long term with this. And, you know, it's kind of like Joe Burrow winning the national title after what was one of the more outstanding seasons we've ever seen from a quarterback in college football. He's able to do it while also hoisting the national championship trophy. So it adds to that overall season legacy. And just by going back to the Super Bowl, what that would mean long-term for the Vrabel-Robinson legacy and everyone else involved in all of this.
Yeah, look, I mean, that's why I go to stakes, because I believe, and I would wager a ton of money, that Patrick Mahomes is not just going to win a Super Bowl. I think there's a good chance, if he stays healthy, that he wins multiple Super Bowls. And I think he's going to be in this situation, much like Peyton Manning and Tom Brady were a lot, where his team is in the playoffs and they have a chance to win a championship. And so I understand it would be frustrating if you're a Chiefs fan to lose in the AFC Championship for a second straight year, but I think you're going to be back there, you know, let's say in the next 10 years, three or four other times. It wouldn't stun me if the Titans are not back here again. I hope they are. But, you know, I think there's a lot more uncertainty and a lot more difficulty in terms of the Titans making this run than there would be of the Chiefs or certainly the 49ers.
And the improbability that Ryan Tannehill is in this moment. You know, this is not Mahomes against Brady for the right to go to the Super Bowl. This is Mahomes against Ryan Tannehill, who the Dolphins didn't even want.
Well, and think about his situation. You talked about
right.
Joe Burrow.
Right.
Think about if Ryan Tannehill went back to the Super Bowl the year after the Dolphins said, you aren't good enough for us, and potentially had an opportunity to hoist the Lombardi Trophy in the stadium of the team that said, you aren't good enough to be our franchise quarterback. That's one of the most remarkable, dunk on moments for a player. I mean, every player who's ever been told, doesn't matter what it is, whether it's high school, whether it's college, whether it's pros, any player who's ever been told you aren't good enough to play on this team and you go somewhere else, you want to be able to prove that you are, in fact, good enough. I think that was part of what drove Joe Burrow, right? I think part of what drove Ed Orgeron was you aren't good enough to be the USC coach. You aren't good enough to get the LSU job. You aren't good enough to be the Ohio State starting quarterback. Well, I'll prove it to you that I am good enough. Ryan Tannehill in the NFL has an opportunity to dunk on the Miami Dolphins like you rarely ever see a player dunk on a former team ever in a way that would be just flat out unbelievable. And that'll turn into a huge story if the Titans are fortunate enough to win.
Yeah.
But you know, we'll have 2 weeks to think about it. In the meantime, as kickoff gets closer and closer, just get increasingly more and more nervous because there's just so much at stake. And here's the other thing. I think Titan fans in general don't take this for granted. I think we took it for granted because it happened so quickly when the Titans came and were so good so quickly when they came to Nashville. You know, you immediately go to the Super Bowl and then you're in the AFC Championship game and you're contending for number one seeds and all these things that happened in the first, you know, decade. And then you had to go through a little bit of a wilderness. And so 17 years after the last AFC Championship game, I know for myself, and I think probably for a lot of people out there, I don't take for granted this opportunity because I'm not sure when it's going to happen again.
Another crazy storyline could be Vrabel against LaFleur.
Yeah.
And two of the three coaches that Robinson interviewed for the head coaching job, which would also be crazy 2 years removed from that. Hey, in thinking about your national perspective here, hosting the national radio show, and also just watching the money lines and things in Vegas, are the Titans as the underdog team, are they becoming more of America's type underdog team through this run? Have you noticed that through buzz and just reaction from the national perspective?
Well, 77% of the money right now is on the Chiefs. So I think that the average person out there does not believe that the Titans are a legitimate threat to win the Super Bowl. But I do believe that the Titans are a very likable team because I think Derrick Henry is a very likable player. I think Mike Vrabel comes across as a pretty likable guy. But I think a lot of people just are not used to the Titans on this stage. People got used to Patrick Mahomes in a hurry. I think Jimmy Garoppolo's story is well known. Certainly everybody knows Aaron Rodgers. There is zero doubt that of the four teams that are remaining right now, the nation knows by far the least about the Titans, just because there aren't that many national games. When the national games do happen, it tends to be against somebody like the Jags. So it's not like it's a game that people get excited about. And I think that the question for the Titans, and I think it's a good one, is, you know, you look at what happened with the Jags. They made that one run. Arguably, they should have been able to beat the Patriots. You know, they were in control to potentially win that game. And then the rug got pulled out from underneath them 2 years later. It's like the franchise it hardly even exists anymore. I think a lot of people may look at the Titans as a Jags-like team making a run, but without a foundation that's established that's going to put them back there time after time. And I think certainly regardless of how this season ends, that's the question. Is this a blip on the radar? Is it a statistical aberration? Or are the Titans built to contend like this for multiple years to come?
Clay mentioned Joe Burrow and Ed Orgeron. He was down in New Orleans for that game. We'll ask him about that and more when we come back. But first, Clay, tell us about our buddy, Ryan Kelly, the home loan expert.
Yeah, if you need to save money, maybe you're sitting around thinking, you know what, I'd like to go to the Super Bowl and I need to save some money to be able to buy Super Bowl tickets. Well, one of the ways you can save money on big expense in most people's lives is the mortgage. Why not go ahead and finally get refied? Why not save hundreds, if not thousands of dollars? You walk into the wife and you say, hey, I know these tickets are going to be $1,000 each. We got to get down to Miami. We got to go to the game. But guess what? I just saved a $6,000 or more potentially over the course of the year on a mortgage. Therefore, we're basically getting to go to the Super Bowl for free. That's at least an argument you could try if you go to thehomeloanexpert.com. That's thehomeloanexpert.com. Save yourself hundreds, if not thousands of dollars over the life of a new loan at incredibly low rates. At thehomeloanexpert.com.
More coming with Clay Travis here on the Midday 180 on 104.5 The Zone. Did you know, Ryan Mudd, that radon is the second leading cause of lung cancer? Ryan didn't know that. January, Radon Awareness Month. And because of that, Precision Air wants to help inform you and educate you on the dangers of radon and how you can avoid dangerous levels inside your home. There's a certain amount of radon gas everywhere, and you most likely can step outside and be exposed to it. Exposure, though, up to a certain level is totally normal and fine. However, there's a threshold of radon concentration that once reached can be extremely dangerous to us. And these days, our homes are more airtight than ever, which can lead to poor indoor air quality and dangerous radon levels in our homes. Even the EPA has recognized the importance of good indoor air quality and has ranked indoor air pollution as a top five environmental danger. That's why Precision Air includes a free radon test annually, plus the indoor air quality evaluation with your Precision Comfort Club membership. It's cold outside. We're spending a lot of time indoors right now. Use this opportunity to call Precision Air, ask about the radon testing and the indoor air quality evaluation assessment whenever you become a Comfort Club preferred member. Comfort is a must. Call the experts you trust. Call 615-834-3777, 834-3777, or visit precisionairtn.com.
I'm John Morgan.
Basketball at 8 o'clock Saturday night, live from Johnny's Tavern. As Chad, it seems like there's a ton of Titans fans making their way to Kansas City this weekend.
We'll find out this weekend at Johnny's Tavern. Hope a bunch of Titans fans show up. Clay Travis is on with us for another segment. Clay, you've been to a lot of national championship games in different venues with different teams. What was the scene like in New Orleans in that building with LSU playing for a national title?
Oh, it was fantastic. I mean, it was a little bit like redemption. We were talking earlier about how for the Titans being able to beat the Ravens in the playoffs kind of flipped the script on them. It wasn't Alabama, but the last time LSU played for the title was against Alabama in that same building, and LSU was trying to win for a second time over the Crimson Tide, and Alabama just smoked them. And I felt like this game that LSU won against Clemson was in some ways redemption for the party LSU didn't get to have in 2011. It was a wild, ruckus scene. Obviously, in New Orleans, LSU had the vast majority of the tickets and of the crowd, and I think you can make an argument that Joe Burrow had as good of a season as any college football player has ever had, and that LSU at 15-0 had as good of a season as any college football team has ever had.
They lose Joe Brady, headed to the Carolina Panthers to be Matt Rhule's offensive coordinator. This is the problem when you get really good. You start losing coaches, and it's difficult to hold it together. That's why Nick Saban has been so great. What do you think about the chances that Ed Orgeron holds this thing together where LSU, year in and year out, can become a Bama-Clemson-like program where they're always in the mix for one of those four playoff spots?
Well, I think the question is, how much is Joe Burrow and how much was LSU? For so long, LSU hasn't had a quarterback, and they've had all the talent everywhere else, and they haven't had the offense to be able to score. Then, boom, Joe Burrow is there, and everything is flawless. You know, you look at, say, Lincoln Riley. It hasn't mattered whether it was Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, or Jalen Hurts. He's been able to win, and his offense works flawlessly regardless. I think that's a question that's out there that has to be determined for LSU. How much of this was Joe Burrow making LSU a different caliber team versus how much is the foundation being laid for LSU to be a program that's dominant for years and years to come? I think they're going to be a top 10, top 15 caliber team under Ed Orgeron because of the sheer talent they have. But I don't know if they have that next leg up to continue to win at a level anywhere near this, or, again, whether it was Joe Burrow just being that transcendent.
Joe Burrow with a heck of a performance, LSU with a heck of a performance, Odell Beckham Jr. with a heck of a performance also, distributing cash to multiple players, and now there's an arrest warrant out for him for the viral video where he spanks the security guard. I don't know if it's a cop or a security guard that was in the locker room, I guess, telling LSU players to not smoke cigars in the building.
Yeah.
What do you make of his post-game performance?
I think Odell is rapidly moving into Antonio Brown crazy town. And what I mean by that is Antonio Brown slowly, as he got money, became more of what he already was. And I think that's a good way of an important lesson. People say money changes people. I don't really think money changes people. I think money makes you whatever you already were, only on steroids, right? Because it gives you the ability to do things in ways that you might always have wanted to do, but not been able to do because you didn't have the money before. And I think what, unfortunately for Antonio Brown, is money didn't change him. It just enabled him to become fully enmeshed in his crazy town pursuits. And I think there's an element of that that's starting to happen with Odell Beckham Jr. If you want to pay guys because they won a national championship, I don't really have a problem with that, right? There's a lot of easy ways to do it. It's easy to give guys cash without doing it in front of hundreds of media members on the field immediately after they won the game, right? That is not about Odell Beckham Jr. rewarding the players. It's about Odell drawing attention to the fact that he has money and he's paying the players. It's about him, not them, right? And I think the same thing is true of him in the locker room. Like, I think it's never good to prosecute things that are relatively not serious. So in general, I don't believe that the state, the governments, and everybody else should be trying to prosecute things like this. But also, why would you think that you could walk up to someone you don't know who's a police officer in a uniform and smack them on the ass, and then when they turn around, taunt them face-to-face, which is what he did on this video? Like, why would you think that that's appropriate behavior or that you have the right to do that? And there's a difference between, you know, like somebody that you know walking up and smacking them on the butt because you're excited and you're celebrating with them, and taunting somebody because you feel like they can't do anything to you because you are in a position of power. And that, to me, is what Odell did in that video. And you know, I also think it's important to send a message in many ways. Like, don't put your hands on a police officer. Like, I don't know why that's like a crazy thing that people have to be told these days, but it's like people don't respect police officers in this country anymore. And I see it's like every day there's a new viral video of people disrespecting police officers, and I don't understand it. I certainly don't tell my kids that. Like, if a police officer is talking to you, shut up, put your hands behind your back, look at them in the face, don't threaten them, don't touch them. Like, I don't understand how there seems to be a generation of kids that are being raised not being told that. And the unfortunate thing is it makes it more dangerous for police, and it makes it more dangerous for the people that they're trying to protect. And so I think this is just indicative, unfortunately, of a lack of respect for police officers in general, which has become a viral sensation in this country, it feels like, in the last decade or so.
Clay, imagine being back in Baton Rouge and working in compliance and having to deal with the cash payouts.
Yeah, it's after so the field. Stupid. Yeah. It's just, and you're already dealing with the Will Wade issues at LSU,
right,
which is where your head basketball coach is on tape talking about paying players on the FBI wiretaps. Again, I don't begrudge if you are so super wealthy that you want to give money to players because you're so excited that they won the national championship. I don't care. Do it. You know, if you've got thousands of dollars. But doing it on the field with hundreds of media members standing around and all of the cameras rolling so that it's almost impossible. Like, that was Coy Wire, who works at CNN, that Odell Beckham was paying the guy in front of. Coy was sitting next to me. We used to work together at Fox. Like, there's a CNN camera next to you on the field with hundreds of media members everywhere, and that's where you decide to pull out a wad of cash. And by the way, how about LSU saying it was fake money?
Right.
Oh,
right.
So dumb.
That in and of itself is funny. Like, I'm ridiculing Odell Beckham Jr. for being dumb enough to do this in that situation, but it would have been even worse if it was fake money. It's like, oh, he's got Monopoly money and he's just giving these guys fake money? Like, how much of an ass are you? You're not even, you're making it look like you're giving me real money, but instead you're giving me fake money.
And I love that Joe Burrow just told the truth, and what we all know was, hey, I'm not a student athlete anymore, so I can say it was real money he was handing out.
Yeah, right. But also, Joe Burrow's about to make $40 million.
Right.
While I'm sure that it's great to get $800 or $1,000 or whatever from Odell Beckham, here's the other thing. I have money now, right? Do you know how often I walk around, and there are lots of times when I did not have money? Why does Odell Beckham Jr. need to have thousands of dollars in cash walk around with money? Like, everybody has credit cards. You know, there's lots of times now it's funny because I just flew out to L.A., and my dad was like, hey, do you have any cash in your wallet? And my parents, like a lot of parents, right? Like, my parents are like, here, take this $40, right? Like, I'm sure everybody out there, no matter how old you are, what you do for a living, your mom or your dad, or probably like my mom or dad, like always trying to give you, you know, here, take this $40. Let me pick up the bill at the check, you know, whatever. And so my dad's like, do you have any money in your wallet right now? And, you know, my dad's of the generation where a lot of times you always have cash, right? I never have cash in my wallet. And so, you know, if I'm tipping somebody or, you know, the reality is I take an Uber. I don't need cash. Like, I have credit cards. Like, it's rare that I need cash for anything. And so he was giving me, like, you know, $40 or $50 to put in my wallet when I'm getting on an airplane to fly out here. But I don't have cash. Like, why does Odell Beckham Jr., in addition to the fact that he had all that cash, why does he need $20,000 in cash or whatever that huge stack of cash he had was?
To pay the LSU players after they won the game. He came prepared.
Right. Maybe that's the case. But if you want to do that, that's fine. But I also feel like that part of it is just like, I'm showing you that I'm rich. Well, you're an NFL player. Like, my presumption is you're rich. I don't need you to have cash to demonstrate to me that you're rich. Like, pull out a credit card and pick up a bar tab if you want. Like, nobody needs real cash. But if you want to have real cash and if you really want to pay players, I've said before, the only time I need cash now is for strippers and babysitters. They're the only people I know in America who get paid cash business at this point. You know, like, and we always get in fights.
Sometimes it could be two in one too, Clay,
yeah,
with that.
Stripper babysitters, according to Pornhub, I'm told, is quite the powerful and popular, that stepsisters. That's the popular trend these days for all the kids. But when you, you know, like, we get in fights, we come back from going out of it. Like, do you have money? No, I don't have money. Do you have money? Like, the babysitters always need cash, and we never have cash. But so if you want to pay somebody because they won a championship and it makes you feel good, do it privately. Keep it from getting them in trouble. And don't make yourself the center of the show and the attention.
Clay, thank you as always, man. Appreciate you moving it up a day. And hopefully next week we're talking about the Titans and the Super Bowl.
Dare to dream, boys. Dare to dream.
Enjoy L.A., Clay.
Will do. I'll see y'all.
See you. Clay Travis, presented by thehomeloanexpert.com. 615-737-1045, our number. If you'd like to jump on, grab a line, we can get to your phone calls coming up. More Titans and Chiefs discussion. Blake Bedingfield scouts the Titans and the Chiefs with us at noon here on 104.5 The Zone. We are starting a new year, a new decade. You've heard this before, but it's true. If nothing changes, nothing changes. If you keep doing what you're doing, you'll keep getting what you're getting. That applies to your finances and future financial planning as well. Most of us don't take any action on our investments or financial planning, usually because we don't know what to do or who to call. And this would definitely describe me at this time last year. First, this is an area that can get complicated fast. Studies show the common thread between those who do well with their finances and those who have less stress comes down to the level of planning that they do. So if you want to start the new year off right, where do you start? A number of consumer advocates recommend working with registered investment advisors who must keep your interests in mind, not their own. Next, make sure they have a financial planning degree. The majority don't. And make sure they don't work on commission. And be sure they enjoy teaching, because education through this process is so important. Paul Winkler and his team at Paul Winkler Inc. meet that criteria. He and his team, they've been serving Middle Tennessee and this area for over 20 years. All of them have at least that much experience. Check them out for yourself. You simply call 615-851-1950. Another easy way is to just visit their website, request a phone call or a free consultation, or just watch the tutorials, listen to the Investor Coach podcast. It's all available at paulwinkler.com. 615-851-1950 or online at paulwinkler.com.